How do you do? Teenagers are infamous for their rebellious, out-of-control behavior, and the young man in this story fit that pattern. In spite of a loving family and a good home, he did things that could have ended in death, things that did end in destruction. Known as Godzilla for his hard-hitting karate moves, nothing hit him as hard as the truth, the day that his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Many people see the homeless and shrug, untouched by their desperate condition, believing they cannot change. Enter Pacific Garden Mission, and it's an entirely different story. The mission has been a haven for the homeless near downtown Chicago since 1877. Giving street people food, clothing, and a safe place to sleep, all without charge, thanks to continued financial support from faithful friends and listeners. Classes and counseling, even medical and dental care, are free at the old lighthouse. But the greatest gift of all is new life that begins when they receive the truth that sets them free, like the man in this story. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2609 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Smokey! Smokey! Oh no, he hit my dog! Dad, Smokey's been hit by a car!
Don't go in the street, Billy!
He's not moving, Dad! Come on, Smokey, get up!
Oh, my.
What's wrong with him?
Oh, he's dead, Billy.
He can't be dead. He can't.
Oh, I'm so sorry, son.
Where are you taking him?
Behind the garage. It's too dark to bury him tonight.
He'll get up, won't he, Dad? He'll run and play again?
No. No, he'll never get up again, son. He's dead.
As a youth, the man in our story learned about the finality of death, a lesson he would learn with greater intensity in the years ahead. Deceived into believing that he was invincible, he took brazen chances, but none so bold as the one that changed his life forever. This is the true story of Bill Rudge, right now on Unshackled.
I was the fourth of six children and was close to my brothers and sister. We had great parents who loved us and would do anything for us. We lived on a busy street in Sharon, Pennsylvania, in a big old house that had been in the family almost 100 years. My oldest brother traumatized me, trying to make me tough. He would lock me in dark rooms and closets and tell me the house was haunted. Behind the house was a large field with chest-high grass where we had secret tunnels and where my rebellion started.
I found these cigarettes. You want to smoke with me?
Sure. Don't tell my brother, though. He'll get really mad at me.
I'll suck it in while I hold the match. Oh, here, let me try it, Billy.
Boy, that hurts.
We ain't doing it right or something.
Look out. You caught the grass on fire.
Oh, no. Help me put it out. Come on.
Oh, it's spreading fast.
Get some water. Oh, run. Come on.
Dad, hey. Help. The field's on fire. Dad. Almost every year after that, I accidentally set the field on fire. Sometimes the fire department was called, and then I was grounded. Our family went to Sunday school and church, and I believed in the existence of God, but nothing prepared us for the day my 7-year-old brother was hit by a car. I heard the ambulance, and I raced home to see his lifeless body carried away. My parents, siblings, and I were devastated by his death. Seeing him in the casket, I knew there had to be life after death. But I rebelled against God for not bringing my brother back to me. After that, gambling, the occult, and peer pressure took over my life.
Hey, you guys, let's go to Superior Woods and hike around.
I gotta get home. It's almost time for my television program.
What television program?
You know, Ted Mack's Amateur Hour. Mm. They taped us last month, and I get to see myself doing multiple backflips.
Oh, come on, Billy. You can see yourself on TV some other time.
Well,
Don't you guys want to see the program?
Who cares about gymnastics? That's for wimps. Come on, let's go.
All right.
Hey, let's see if we can steal some beer off someone's back porch.
I wanted desperately to be accepted as an equal. I was a skinny runt, always getting beat up by the older boys, so I began hanging around with tough guys. Around Halloween each year, we became vandals, cutting clotheslines, slashing tires, and busting streetlights. We had a shack behind my garage where we held drinking parties and stealing contests to see who could take the most stuff from a store.
Hey, look what I got.
Whoa! Oh, man. How'd you get that out of the store, Jimmy?
Yeah, it takes planning.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder what's in that mansion we could steal.
Wow. Nobody's lived in it for a long time.
It's probably haunted.
Let's go see if we can get inside. Hey, I know a good way to get in.
Hey, get down in case somebody heard that.
Yeah, come on, let's go inside.
Over a period of weeks, we vandalized that old mansion. I wondered why the police didn't come after us. Then one Sunday afternoon, as a friend was getting ready to throw a brick through a window, a cruiser came flying up the drive, lights flashing. I was hiding in the bushes, but eventually I was rounded up, along with more than 50 others.
Yeah, we know you're the ringleader, Rudge. Your friend told us everything.
That ain't true.
Then why is your clubhouse called Rudge's Shack?
Don't prove nothing.
Yeah, well, you're 13, oldest one in the bunch.
He's only 12. Now, put him down as 12.
Mr. Rudge, doesn't matter whether he's 12 or 13, he's the ringleader.
It does matter. We want the truth told.
Well, the truth is, they've done thousands of dollars worth of damage. They tore down a banister, ruined a piano, and broke stained glass windows that are irreplaceable.
But these kids are all minors.
Oh, well, the damage they did was anything but minor. They deserve to be punished, and I'm going to see that they are punished.
The year of probation and the fine we paid taught us nothing. Young people do cruel things without ever thinking about the consequences or the hurt they cause others. There was a white-haired lady in our neighborhood, and through ignorance and fear, we thought she was a witch. When my friends and I slept out, we'd shoot at her chickens with BB guns and tear up her garden. One day, I learned an important lesson.
What were you doing at Mrs. Brazine's house, Billy?
She asked me to write some letters for her.
Oh?
Her eyesight's bad, so she can't see good enough to write anymore.
Well, I'm glad you helped her.
She doesn't speak English very well, Dad.
She's a German immigrant.
Boy, she's really poor. I felt kind of sorry for her, away from her family and all.
Well, some people have a hard lot in life.
She said somebody ripped up her tomato plants last summer. What a mean thing to do.
As I continued to dabble in the occult and learned about evolution in school, I became even more confused about God. I promised him I'd change if he got me out of trouble, but of course I didn't. In junior high, I began lifting weights to build strength so I could get even with guys who beat up on me in the past. My goal was to be the strongest kid in class by the time I graduated. By then, my friends were into drugs.
Hey, Billy, you want a hit?
Nah, man, no.
Oh, come on. You smoked them last time.
Yeah, but I decided drugs are not for me. It messes up my training.
Oh, you and your training.
Hey, look what drugs do to people once you get addicted.
Yeah, but it feels so good. You're addicted to thrills, man. Like, you do crazy things.
So what? At least I don't ruin my body and mind. You know, I can bench press almost 300 pounds already.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, we can use you to help fight them Ohio gangs. Yeah, they come here with clubs and chains and beat everybody up.
Let's go get them.
Okay, now how many guys we got?
About 15 altogether. How many come from Ohio?
5 or 6. We got enough to clean their clock tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, here they come now.
All right. We'll get them.
Whoa, they got clubs and chains again, guys.
Uh-oh.
I don't know about this.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, you guys, come back here. Cowards!
They all ran away and left me to face 6 guys with clubs and chains. I didn't have a chance, so I jumped in a car with a girl I didn't even know, and we fled, chased by the Ohio gang until we lost them. A few days later, I ran into the Ohio gang at a restaurant, and they asked me to join them, so I did. We tried everything imaginable to get into fights or cause trouble. I was ready for any kind of thrill. I would date 5 or 6 girls at a time, lying to each one. And then, there was Karen.
Hey, Bill, what are you up to?
I need some fresh air, Karen. Do you want to go outside for a minute?
Sure. I hear you're on the football team in your school.
Yeah, I sit on the bench most of the time, though. I skip too much practice.
Yeah, why even bother?
Too stubborn to quit, I guess. I'm more interested in karate now.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Want to sit in the car a while?
Sure. Oh, boy, I'm loaded.
Maybe you'll be nice to me for a change.
Yeah, don't bet on it.
You never did like me since we were kids.
You never liked me either. Besides, my parents said you were trouble and warned me to stay away from you.
Well, what do parents know, huh? I'll call you sometime. I had no intention of calling her. I switched friends and girlfriends the way some people try flavors of ice cream. I had a wild restlessness inside that led me to drive at speeds of 115 miles per hour or more. In my karate dojo, I was already known as Godzilla because of my aggressiveness. I wanted to hurt people. At times I was filled with fear and phobias. Other times I actually thought I was God, so invincible I couldn't die. But I was wrong about that.
In a moment, we'll hear about the dramatic change in Bill's life. True giving comes from the heart when you don't expect and can't receive anything in return. This Christmas, discover the joy of true giving by sending a gift to someone who is homeless. At Pacific Garden Mission, we are preparing a Christmas dinner for hundreds of people living on the street. And we'd like to give each of our guests a present to help them know they are loved by God and you can be His emissary. Now, you don't have to spend a lot of time or money, but the gift should be new, not something used. So the next time you're out shopping, pick up a pair of men's socks, gloves, or underwear. Toiletries are always a hit. Women need similar items, any size, any color. Children also need clothing or a book or a toy, whatever you can afford. The homeless have so many unmet needs that God always has someone in mind for what you send. There's no need to wrap your gift, though wrapping paper and ribbon can be included in the package. Send your present to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Questions? Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Eventually, I did ask Karen out, and we became attracted to each other, but I continued to chase other girls after I took her home from a date. She was nobody's fool, though.
I hear you asked some other girl to the senior prom.
That was before we started dating, Karen. I can't back out now.
All right, but you can't take her to the after-prom party. You have to take me.
You sure are possessive.
Bill, you either date only me or you don't date me at all.
Okay. I've broken up with all the other girls I used to date.
That's not true. Your friends said you still go out with lots of girls.
Some friends.
I have all their names, and I want you to call them right now. Tell them you're only dating me from now on. I'll be listening on the other phone to make sure you do.
In her own way, Karen straightened up one part of my dishonest life. But I was still wild and reckless, still running with the gang. Some of my friends had been killed in car wrecks while high on drugs or alcohol. A few were in prison, and a few more committed suicide. I graduated when I was 17 and applied for a dream job as an instructor at the first health spa in our area.
Hey, did you get the job?
Sure did. And they could have hired more experienced guys, too. But they like my physique and attitude.
That's great, Bill.
I can't believe I'll be getting paid to do something I love. Let's go out tonight and celebrate. I loved the attention I got at the beach. I loved hearing businessmen call me their fitness instructor. But even achieving my goals did not satisfy me. The search for purpose in life seemed endless. One night, Karen went to a concert with some friends. At midnight, she called me.
Bill, you'll never guess what happened to me. I've become a Christian.
Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian too. I mean, I believe in God. And I go to church now and then too, you know.
No, Bill, this is different. I gave my life to Jesus Christ.
That'll pass, Karen.
Oh, no, it won't. I feel really different inside, Bill. I'll never be the same.
I thought we would still be able to party, but there was a tremendous change in Karen. She wouldn't drink or party, and all she talked about was Jesus. I wanted her attention with no competition from God. I was verbally abusive when she talked about the Lord. I began to hate this Jesus and plotted ways to destroy her faith in him. Once I went with her to an outreach center and faked a conversion, but I was angrier than ever after that. I decided to get away.
You're going out west? Why?
My brother Larry's out there, living in a hippie commune in Albuquerque. He said he could give me a hot motorcycle and we could travel the country.
You're coming back, aren't you?
Maybe.
I don't want you to go, Bill.
You don't need me around, Karen.
How are you going to get there?
Hitchhike. My weightlifting buddy's going with me.
Please don't go, Bill. I'll miss you so much.
You have Jesus, remember? Maybe I would find out what was missing in my life, out west, or maybe I was just angry at Karen's love for Jesus. But my buddy and I set out in May when I was 18. We were picked up by all kinds of people, including a rich businessman just outside Akron, Ohio. Nice car.
Well, the Lord has blessed me in so many ways. Do you boys know Jesus?
Not interested.
I ought to know him. My girlfriend talks about him all the time.
She must be a believer.
She went overboard, if you ask me. Won't party, won't drink, won't do anything fun anymore.
Well, when God transforms your life, he changes everything. What the world has to offer is meaningless by comparison.
I don't see why you have to give up everything.
Well, your desires for worldly pleasures are diminished. In its place is a great desire to please the Lord. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly."
To each his own.
Well, where are you guys headed?
New Mexico. My older brother's in Albuquerque.
I know some people in an organization out there. I'll give you a note and they'll take care of you.
We were often stranded, dirty, drenched, and hungry, but we loved the adventure. When we reached the halfway house in Albuquerque where my brother was staying, we learned he had gone into the mountains, and no one knew when he was coming back. So we hitchhiked to Santa Fe, arriving as darkness fell, along with the temperature.
Ooh, man, it's cold. Wish I'd brought a sweater along.
Who could believe it could get this cold in May?
Where is everybody anyway? This town is shut down.
I don't know. That bar is the only place that's open, and they won't even let us inside to get warm.
Well, we gotta do something. If the temperature drops to 25, we'll freeze to death in short sleeves. What are we gonna do, Bill?
I don't know.
Hey, that's my brother. That's my brother, Billy!
Man, I still can't believe we ran into you like that. I didn't even know you were in New Mexico.
Good thing you came along. We were getting desperate.
Well, what are you doing here anyway, huh?
Well, you said you could get us a hot motorcycle. We could tour the West.
I won't be able to do that, Billy. Sorry.
Might as well head back home, then.
Well, you can spend the night with us and leave tomorrow.
Hey, we can visit those people that guy told us about and get a free meal.
After spending the night with my brother, we hit the road. Although it was out of the way, we visited that man's friends who fed us well and gave us some literature. While sitting beside the highway trying to thumb a ride, we read the tracts.
This one talks about the spirit-filled life.
Here, read this one. It explains what it means to be a Christian.
What does it mean?
You have to make a total commitment to Christ as Lord. Put him before everything else.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not a Christian.
Me too. But I sure could use a drink of water. I'm dying of thirst.
Pretty good. Last night we almost froze to death, and today we might die of dehydration.
Maybe if we throw rocks at some cars, they'll get mad and stop.
Hello?
Karen, it's me.
Bill, where are you?
Some little town in New Mexico. We're coming back.
Oh, thank God.
I thought we'd never get a ride. We were about to die of thirst out there in the desert, and nobody would stop. We finally climbed a fence and walked to a different highway where a guy in a pickup gave us a ride.
Oh, Bill, I wish you were here already.
We'll be there in a few days.
I'm praying for you, Bill.
A few days later, we were both happy to be home again. It was Sunday, and the first thing I did was go to see Karen.
Bill, Why don't you come to church with me tonight? There's going to be a fantastic evangelistic meeting.
Karen, you know what you can do with your religion.
But, Bill, this guy is really good.
My first night home and you want me to spend it in church? Get real.
Please, Bill.
I tried Jesus, remember? Christianity doesn't work.
How can you say that?
I went out of my way to see some religious folks on that trip, and God almost let me die of thirst in the desert.
But you didn't die. He was watching over you, Bill. Who else brought you and your brother together in Santa Fe? Go with me tonight.
Okay, I'll go. Just to be with you.
God loves you, my friends. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He sent his Son, his only Son, to die a horrible death on the cross to pay for our sins. And Jesus went there willingly because of his great love for you. Why would you think that you can come to God on your own terms when he made that kind of sacrifice for you? The cross of Christ is the means to repentance. His death for your redemption, his resurrection is your salvation. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Friends, if you are dead in your sins, come forward now and receive God's forgiveness through Christ Jesus.
Do you want me to go with you, Bill?
No. This time, I'll go on my own. As I walked down to the altar, I said, God, if you prove yourself real to me tonight, I'll live my life for you. I got on my knees and was sincere with God for the first time in my life. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and I want to give my life to you. Thank you for what you did on the cross for me. I hadn't cried since my little brother was killed, but I cried that night for 15 minutes as I surrendered my life to Christ. That was May 1971, and God completely changed my life. I never knew it could be so peaceful out here, Karen.
I always knew God would make a difference in your life, Bill. But this is even better than I expected.
Even my karate instructor said I've changed. Guys don't invite me out for beer anymore either.
Do you care?
No. But it takes a lot of courage to follow Christ. I had no idea.
Yes, it does. Especially when everyone mocks you.
All those years, I thought only wimps were Christians. But it takes more self-control to not hit someone than it does to lash out. You know, when I share Christ with my friends and they smirk or ridicule me, I feel like punching them. But you can't do that when you know the Lord.
He gives you the power to resist.
All my life I wanted power and control, and you're right, Karen. He gives you all you need. That was nearly 30 years ago. 2 weeks after my decision to follow Christ, Karen and I eloped. After Bible college, I served as a youth minister for 1 year. Then Karen and I started a ministry, Sharing Christ. God has given us a son and daughter, but the greatest gift of all is knowing Jesus. I came to Christ because there was something missing in my life that nothing or no one else could satisfy. God was with me during all those years of rebellion, just as he is with you, because he loves you. Only he can set you free.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My friend, have you wasted your life on a meaningless search for things that don't really matter? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. If you would like to put your trust in the Lord, there's no better time than right now. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, Christ died for you. Why not trust Him with your heart and life? If you need help in this crucial decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Does this program brighten your day? Then tell others when and how to listen. And please remember to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 2609. Heard in the true story of Bill Rudge, or Darren Stevens, Karen Anglin, Doug Dudley, Steve Bayorgin, James Snyder, and Art Fox. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you is important to us, so please write soon. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Your letters really do mean a great deal to us. And be sure to write the manager of this station and let him know that you appreciate hearing Unshackled. And be sure to tell your friends and neighbors when and how to listen. We appreciate your listening to us as we proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Hearing from you is very important, so please write soon. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When no one seems to care, we do. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with a counselor. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.